of messages called Finishing Well. And as we've been talking about this subject, we've learned that the Christian life is something that must be continuous. It's not enough just to make a good start. We actually have to see it through. We have to finish well. So the first week we were together this month, we looked at Caleb. And we saw a man, this is back in the book of Joshua, we saw a man who at the age of 85 was still going strong for the Lord. He was still willing to work to obtain the promises that God had given to him. Now last week we looked at Solomon. Solomon is someone who began well. I mean, he was just full of promise. He had everything anyone could ever ask for. He had wisdom that was from God alone, that was just proverbial. He had all the wealth you could imagine. He had fame and prestige. He had it all. He had the potential to finish well. But as we saw, as we looked at Solomon's life, that he blew it at the end of his life, and he compromised our faith. Now, the hope that we have for Solomon is that the book of Ecclesiastes was probably written by him, which shows us that he somehow came to his senses and realized that apart from God, everything else is absolutely meaningless. So he started well, he blew it, and hopefully he learned some lessons from that. This week we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Now, as far as Christianity is concerned, he did not start out well. In fact, he started out as an enemy of the cross of Christ. But he provides for us a wonderful example of what it means to actually end well.
So we see the Apostle Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, where Paul meets the Lord on the Damascus Road. Now, he was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, persecuting the church, watched approvingly as Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7, and his job was hauling Christians off to prison. But an encounter with the living God on the Damascus Road changed everything. In fact, Saul changed his name to Paul, and we are most familiar with him as Paul the Apostle. He became a defender of the faith. He became Christianity's greatest missionary, and he never, ever looked back. He was resolute in his commitment to serve the Lord once he had seen Jesus on that Damascus Road. What I want us to do today is to take your notes and your bulletins, and I want us to listen as we read Paul's words as he writes to us from prison. As he sits in this prison cell, he is thinking that no doubt death is right around the corner and his life is soon going to be ended. Listen to what he writes as he is anticipating the end of his life. This is in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, right on through chapter 4, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with the others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again with many tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But your citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, our dear friends.
Now, do you notice the secret that Paul gives us in there to finishing well? He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. It's a two-part solution for us. The first, it's forgetting what is behind. Paul said, this one thing I do, and he says it entails letting go of the past, not holding on to things, but somehow putting the past behind us. And I think there are several things that Paul had in mind when he was talking about putting things behind us. And the first is this, letter A, it's forgetting past accomplishments. Forgetting past accomplishments. You see, right before we get to this passage of Scripture, Paul talks about this. We don't have room always in your outlines to give you all the Scripture we want to talk about. So if you have your Bibles, you want to just flip back a little bit to Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Paul says this, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. You see, from the world's perspective, Paul had a lot to be proud of. I mean, he was a very religious man. He was faultless. He would have been one of those perfect people that you see who does everything right. He was from good stock. He had a wonderful heritage, a wonderful background. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was influential. He was a leader. He had everything going for him from the world standards. But you know how Paul looks at it? He says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. He considered everything a loss compared to knowing Christ. He realized that these things could no longer be a source of pride for him, that he couldn't look at his past accomplishments and just hang on that or just live by that. There was more that God was requiring of him. You see, finishing well isn't about what we used to be or what we used to do. It's always about what God is doing in us and through us right now. Now, we often get caught up in this of what I used to do or what I used to be. Because, you know, let's face it, some of us are at the point of our lives where we can't do all of the things that we used to do. And so it's real easy to just categorize ourselves by what we used to be able to do. You know, maybe you're saying, well, I used to work a job. You know, I used to be able to get on the floor and play with my grandchildren. Maybe in light of church, you're saying, I used to teach Sunday school, or I used to be faithful in attendance. I used to tithe all the time when I was younger and was working. I used to help out with things. I mean, anytime the church was open, I was there. I used to be a helper. I used to pray all the time. I used to read my Bible. But you know, I think what Paul is trying to tell us is that we can't rest on the laurels of the past. We can't just look at what we used to do and think that's good enough to get us through right now. God cares about what we're doing right now, what we're doing for Him today. And I know it's frustrating because it feels like I can't do the things I used to do. I can't do everything. And let me just tell you, I can't do all the things that I used to do. None of us can as we get older, sometimes our health fails. There are all kinds of reasons that we can't do everything that we used to do. But we are more than just about what we used to do. It's who we are right now. God says, I don't care what you can't do. I care what you can do. So we need to look at ourselves and look at what we have to offer God. And right now, right this moment, what does God want us to do? And what can He do through us? And what does He want us to do for Him? What are we able to do right now? In order to finish well, we have to let go of some of those accomplishments of the past. Stop resting on those. Stop banking on those. Let go of them and be about serving God right now, today.
Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting past accomplishments. Letter B, forgetting past failures. We all have a past. Paul had a past. You see, Paul had given approval to Stephen's stoning. Paul had persecuted the church. Paul had imprisoned many Christians. Paul had been a religious zealot, but he was completely wrong and going in the wrong direction. And I am sure there were many times when Paul felt guilty or even felt ashamed for the things that he had done before he met the Lord. But one thing that Paul realized is that you have to let go of past failures. And Paul had to let go of those past failures if he was ever going to learn to finish well. You see, Paul learned that you have to accept God's forgiveness. And when God says that He's washed it clean and He's separated it as far as the east is from the west and put it into His sea of forgetfulness, we have to rest on that and accept God's forgiveness. We have to learn to forgive ourselves and stop beating ourselves up. We all do dumb and stupid things from time to time. And when we confess those and when God forgives us, we need to forgive ourselves. And then we need to do what Paul did. We need to learn to move on. Once we've confessed it to the Lord and God forgives us, once we wrestle with ourselves and forgive ourselves, we need to learn to move on. If you fail to move on and you keep punishing yourself for past failures, you will cripple your present and you will bankrupt your future. And so you need to learn to do that. See, Satan is the only one who wants you to feel condemned. Satan is the only one who wants you to feel that you are unworthy. It's not God. God wants you to know that you are dearly loved, that He died for you, that He has a plan for your life and a purpose. God wants you to know that He wants to do something in you. God wants you to know that you can live a holy life and live for Him. You see, in order to finish well, we need to learn to put our past behind us. We need to forget about past failures, and we need to move forward with God.
Letter C, it means forgetting past hurts. Now, Paul had certainly been hurt by other people. Remember, when you read through some of the things that Paul went through, he had been beaten and stoned and left for dead. He was imprisoned by his own countrymen. He was falsely accused. In 2 Timothy 4:14, he actually mentions someone by name. He says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. We have no idea what that was, but somehow someone had actually harmed him. Everyone, he says, abandoned him at his first defense before Nero. Paul knew what it was like to be hurt by other people. And yet Paul had to let go of these hurts in order to finish well. You see, Paul knew that we cannot harbor bitterness and resentment and brokenness and still finish strong. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask you how many of you have ever been hurt by somebody. Can you raise your hand? Oh, a whole lot of you over here haven't been. Praise the Lord. Good for you. Now, let me ask you, have any of you ever been hurt by another Christian, by a pastor, by a church? Anybody have those kinds of hurts? Those are the worst ones, aren't they? Because you expect family to stick with you. You expect your friends. You expect Christians of all people to not hurt you. But you know, every single one of us have been through hurt, whether it's from friends or family members or Christians or pastors or churches or coworkers, that there's always been someone out there to hurt our feelings, to ruffle our feathers, to falsely accuse us, to offend us. And then there's some of those people out there who just do whatever they can to try to damage us. They want to destroy us, you know, and they're just out to make our lives miserable. And I need to tell you this morning, there is nothing we can do about those things. We cannot undo the past. We can never go back and take that hurt that was done to us and relive it and make it turn out right or make it turn out the way that we thought it was supposed to be. There's absolutely nothing that can be done about those past hurts. And as long as there are imperfect people in the world, there will always be hurts. As long as there are imperfect people in the church, there will always be hurts. People will say things, and most of the time unintentionally, but sometimes actually intentionally. As long as you have people, you will always have hurts. Now, Paul said this one thing he did. It involved putting the past in the past. Now, I know this is hard. I know this is the hardest thing because those hurts really do hurt deep down. Times when you feel like you've been betrayed by somebody or someone just stabbed you in the back and it hurts very bad. But if we're going to finish well, the past has to be put in the past and forgotten and left there. You see, what happens is we can't let our past hurts affect what we do today. And you know as well as I do that when we've been hurt in the past, it affects everything that you do, doesn't it? It affects how you relate with other people because you're afraid to be totally open with them or totally honest or transparent because you're afraid that they might hurt you, right? And so you put up a wall between you and other people. We can't allow things from the past to affect what we do today. We can't let them make us jaded or cynical about life. We can't allow those things to steal our joy. Do you know how many people are walking around miserable and they're upset and they're angry or they're sad or brokenhearted because of a hurt that someone did 20 years ago? You know, sometimes the past just has to stay in the past and we need to let go of it. Don't let those things steal your joy. Don't let them keep you from serving God fully because you're afraid you're going to get hurt again. And you all know this, and those of you who have been hurt by churches, and churches are notorious for hurting people. I don't know why. Maybe it's just we're all a little bit sensitive. But you've been hurt by a church. You say, well, I'm never going to do that again. I'm not never going to volunteer to help again because, after all, look what happened last time I volunteered and I was hurt. And so you're not serving God fully the way you should be because of something that happened in the past. Paul knew if we're going to finish well and we're going to finish it out and serve God to the end, the past needs to put behind us. All those past hurts, we need to forget them because what matters most is what's happening right now. And we need to live in the right now and live for the future instead of just rehashing the past.
And while we take hurts so personally, most hurts are not done with you in mind. You need to know that. Especially within the church. Pastor Patty says we tend to be a little bit oversensitive in the church. We don't have a church committee that just thinks of ways to make your life miserable. And who we're going to target this week. Most times when you are hurt, the other person doesn't have a clue that they've offended you or hurt you. We need to put it in the past. Now, the fourth thing. Forgetting past disappointments. Life is full of disappointments. Life is full of different turns at different places. And this is true for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was called to do missions work and to plant churches. And he went with a great deal of energy and excitement and enthusiasm. And he would go to a city and he would begin to preach and nobody would listen. He would go to a place to begin to preach and they would run him out of town. He once went to another city and began to preach, and the people from the last town came to this town to make sure that he wouldn't even be in a neighboring city. I don't know about you, but the Apostle Paul had disappointment after disappointment. People that he counted on that failed him. Disappointments as to what direction he thought life was going in. In fact, we see that he writes these words from a jail cell because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It just wasn't going the way he expected. Life is full of disappointments. But if we are ever going to learn to finish well, we need to make sure that we do not allow disappointments to run the direction of our lives. Think back with me. Maybe you were passed over on a job promotion and you felt disappointed. Maybe you had a child that you raised to know the Lord, but they're not serving the Lord now, and it's been a disappointment. Maybe life somehow has thrown you a curveball through the death of a loved one or the loss of a job. It's just not happening the way it's supposed to, and life becomes disappointed. You know, maybe you didn't achieve all of the things that you had planned to achieve when you were in your 20s. You had life all planned out. You know, the little house with the white picket fence, you know how it was going to be, you know. Dinner on the table every night when you come home, and you know. And it just didn't work that way. If we're not careful, we can end up with a lot of regrets in our lives. We can end up becoming bitter. We can end up being caught in the past. We can end up playing that little game that says, if I had only done this, if I had only achieved that, if I had only taken another pass. And Pastor Patty wrote this in my notes. If I had only married someone else. And then she wrote dot, 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 or hadn't gotten married. Let's go back to letter C, shall we? I'm sure she had you in mind and not me. I'm sure it's something. You see, we can end up living in the past, wishing that everything would have been different. But in order to finish well, we have to forget what is behind us. You see, It doesn't matter whether you've failed or been disappointed or been hurt. What really matters and what really counts is what happens today. Are you serving Jesus Christ today? Do you know Him today as your Lord and Savior? Are you being obedient today? Are you following the center of His will today? You see, it's not about future plans. It's not about the past hurts and disappointments. It's about what are you doing today. If you are going to finish well, then today you need to follow in obedience to Jesus Christ. Today you need to follow in obedience.
So Paul's secret for finishing well is twofold. It's forgetting what is behind, but it's also forging ahead. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. It is striving to do something for God. It is pressing on toward the goal. It's something that takes work. And there are several things I think that Paul teaches us through his life about what it means to forge ahead or how we go about forging ahead. And the first is this, positive thinking. And I want you to notice what Paul is thinking and the things that are on his mind, even as he's writing this passage that we looked at this morning that you have there in your notes. In chapter 3, verse 14, he talks about winning the prize. In verse 20, he talks about we eagerly await a Savior. In 3:21, he talks about how our bodies will be transformed. And then when he goes on in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, this is how we stand firm. The way we stand firm is by having our minds focused on the right kinds of things. Paul was thinking about heaven, about gaining the prize, about waiting for Christ to return. He talked about how our bodies are going to be transformed. He wasn't whining and groaning and complaining about all the things that were going wrong in his life right then. His thinking was positive. You see, when we focus our minds on heavenly things instead of earthly things, that is part of the secret of being able to forge ahead even when things are bad. Now, I know that there are plenty of negative things happening in our world today. All you have to do is turn on the news. And isn't it absolutely depressing? I mean, you turn the news on every night. There's all those political battles, which just make everybody want to move to Canada. We just get tired of all of the politics. Is it just as bad in Canada? Gwen is saying, yes, everybody come to Canada. But we have all of that. And then every time you turn on the news, isn't there another child who's been abducted or a rape or a homicide or something that's happening? There is plenty of negative stuff going on. And we can choose to focus on the things that sicken us or discourage us or demoralize us or give us fear. Or we can choose to focus on the things that God is doing. We can choose to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Because I'll tell you, even though you turn on the news and it tells you every horrible thing that's happening in the world, you know, they put those things on the news because people like to hear. Those things are sensational, and that's what sells news programs and advertising. But I'll tell you, God is doing greater things in the world than what the devil is. And there are some wonderful things happening throughout our world where the gospel is being preached and lives are being changed and people doing good things. And yet, we don't often hear about those things. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and what He's done and what He is going to do, and to keep in our minds that one day, as bad as this world is, it's all going to be gone and Christ is going to reign supreme. That when we get to the end, He's the winner and we're on the winning side. We need to remind ourselves of that. We need to have what I call positive thinking. And that's what Paul did. Paul chose to focus on the positive. This is what he says later on in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about all the good and the positive and the fruitful things, and let your mind dwell there. Positive thinking. In Philippians chapter 4, also in verses 11 to 13, he talks about contentment. He says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Paul says he's learned that even in times of distress, even in times of not having, we can control what we're thinking about, that he can be content even in bad situations, that somehow we're not looking at the situation, we're looking at God and his power and who he is and what he can do, and somehow that helps us to be able to forge ahead. We need to stop looking at what we can't do and focus on what he is doing and what he is able to do. That's positive thinking. It's not wishful, hopeful thinking. It's not just saying, well, if I just pretend everything's rosy, it will be. It's putting our hope and our confidence in Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's going to do. That is thinking positively.
Forging ahead, letter B in your outline. Power through Christ. Power through Christ. If you take a look at your sermon notes, you'll see in verses 20 and 21 that it talks about our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. It tells us that Christ gives us power. Paul says in Philippians 3, it talks about that he's able to do all things through Christ who gives him power. In 2 Corinthians, he writes in chapter 12, when I am weak, then I am strong, because his power is made perfect in weakness. You see, in Jesus Christ, we have power. In Jesus Christ, we have the power to succeed, the power to do whatever we need to do. Now, you may feel inadequate when you look at yourself in the mirror. You may look at yourself in the mirror and say, boy, I'm not as young as I used to be. You may say, boy, I just don't seem to have the strength I used to have. You may say, boy, I don't think I have the same skills I used to have. Or maybe you say, I'm not real knowledgeable about that situation. But when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we need to stop thinking about our inadequacies, because God is not limited by your inadequacies. You see, he can feed a multitude with a little boy's lunch. He can take a stone and defeat a giant. He can take a band of 300 idiots and he can rout an army whose camels number as the sand as the seashores. God is not limited to who we are. And so when we look in the mirror, instead of looking at our inadequacies, what we need to do is look at our availability. Am I available to allow God to pour his power in and through me today? Am I available today to be a servant of the King? Am I available today to do what God wants me to do? And if you are, it will be his power that will see you through. It is his power that he will give us to keep us from sin. He will allow us to make right decisions all day long. It is his power that will enable us to do the task that he puts on our schedule. It is his power that will enable us to be a witness for him and to boldly go in his name. It is his power that will allow us to be his glory in every circumstance. You see, if we want to learn to finish well, we need to do it not in our own strength, on our own accomplishments, with our own abilities. But if we want to learn to finish well, we need to learn to do it through the power of Christ in our lives.
Finishing well, letter C, also involves partnering with others. Partnering with others. Paul was always concerned about other people. You notice even in this passage that we shared, he's concerned about other people. In chapter 3, verse 17, he tells them to follow his example. In 4:1, he says that these people are his joy and his crown. He cares about other people. In 3:16, he says, let us live up to what we've already attained. He said that we're in this together, that together we need to do what is right. And it's interesting, in the next few verses that we didn't include in this passage, in chapter 4, verses 2-3, he's pleading with two women to get along. I don't know why women seem to have problems every now and then getting along, but he says, you know, I just plead with these two ladies who have been workers together with me to get along and entreats the church to help them to do what is right and to put their differences beside them or behind them. And he mentions even in those verses about people who have contended at his side. Paul is always interested in people. His religion isn't one, it's not just about him and his relationship with God. It always entails other people. In fact, if you were to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 16, you'll see a whole long list there of all the people that Paul talked about who were co-laborers with him in ministry. And almost every letter that Paul writes, he always concludes with a list of people who helped him. See, Paul never tried to do it all alone. He wasn't one of those Christians who felt that the weight of the world rested on their shoulders. You know, the people who have the Messiah complex. If I don't do it, it won't get done, and I have to do it all by myself. He believed that two heads were better than one, and that he needed to partner with others in order to do what God had called him to do. And so as we read about Paul's ministry, we read that other people accompanied him on his journeys. There were other people who came and comforted him and ministered to him when he was in prison. You see, the Christian life was never meant to be lived in isolation. We were never meant just to give our hearts to Christ and just have a one-on-one relationship where we never dealt with another person. You know, that kind of lifestyle has always been somewhat appealing to me because I tend to be what is it?
I got a lot of words for you. Want me to just pick one, or are you going to?
No, by all means. An introvert, that's it. Thank you, honey.
I thought that one didn't come to mind.
Okay. I get to vote, you know. Anyway, an introvert. And so the idea of like just being alone in a monastery, like it's a really cool idea to me and never having to be around other people. But Paul realized that, no, you need other people. Christianity was never meant to be just you going it alone, you and the Lord. We need each other. And so if we want to finish well, if we really want to forge ahead and do great things for God, we need to partner with other people. We need the fellowship of the church. And I know there are times you feel like, well, I don't need those people at that church. But let me tell you, we need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to hold each other up. We need to pray for each other. We need each other. We need fellowship. We need to ask each other for help and allow people to help us. We need to lend a hand to someone else. You're needed by somebody else. And I believe that God's Word teaches us that we can accomplish far more for God together than we ever could alone. Paul learned that secret. He was never about getting glory for himself and just trying to do it all on his own. He partnered with other people, and we need to do the same thing if we're going to finish well.
It's important that you understand that you can still partner with people. In our last church in Wisconsin, we had the opportunity to be involved in a large building project. And while we had the strength to do the job, we didn't have the knowledge. And we had a master electrician come in who had lost both arms in an electrical accident. And so he could not do the wiring. I was his hands. He was the brains. And between the two of us, the job was completed. We partnered together. And so you may no longer have the strength to do some things, but oh, look at all the wisdom I'm looking at. Huh? Let's learn to partner one with another. Oh, what a difference it will make. Well, forging ahead. Letter D, purpose for living. The Apostle Paul had a purpose. It says, this one thing I do. He says he is pressing forward to the prize towards heaven that God had called him to. The Apostle Paul had a purpose. He had a reason to get up every day. And if we are going to learn to finish well, we need to have a goal in front of us. We need to have a purpose. We need to have a reason to get up every day. And this purpose that we need to have cannot be a selfish purpose, but rather it needs to be a purpose that is God-honoring and God-centered purpose. Now, there are some wonderful purposes that we need to have, like the purpose to stay healthy and purpose to save money so that we can pay our bills and for retirement and purpose to, you know, to be involved in our family's lives. But we need to have a purpose that's bigger than just ourselves or selfish purposes. We need to have a purpose that is a God-given purpose, that God is calling us to, that God wants us to accomplish on a daily basis and throughout this year. Maybe the Lord is giving you the purpose that you are going to witness to X many of people, or that this year you're going to contact every one of your family members about where they stand with Christ. Or maybe this year you're going to come alongside someone who is a young Christian or new in their faith, and you're going to be an encouragement. Maybe this year your purpose is that you'll be a prayer warrior and that every day you're going to spend an hour praying for the church or for the missionaries or the pastors. And maybe that your purpose this year is that you are going to give in a significant way to make an impact on a ministry, whether it's financial giving or giving of your time or resources. You see, if we want to finish well, we need to have a God-given purpose. We need to ask God to give us a goal, a reason for being every day. Not just something generic, but something specific that will give us a reason to get up every morning. The Apostle Paul had a purpose. In fact, he said, "This one thing I do." He narrowed it down and he said, "I'm going to be about this which God has called me for from heaven." We need to have a purpose if we're going to finish well. The good news this morning is simply this. God wants you to finish well. More than anything else, God wants you to cross the finish line in a full sprint, finishing well. In fact, when Jesus knew that His time on earth was short, He gathered His disciples together for a Last Supper. You've probably seen pictures of it. And as they gathered there in that room, and as they shared that Seder meal with them, and as the meal finished, He knew that He was going to be leaving soon. And what was on His mind is that these men finished well. And so He took the cup and He says, "Let's divide it amongst ourselves. This is the cup of new covenant. I'm going to give you the power to continue even when I'm gone so that you'll finish well." He took the bread and He broke it and He says, "This is my body broken for you." See, because He wanted us to know that whatever things in the past He can take care of, because by His stripes we are healed. He says, "Guys, I want you to finish well." And then He said this. He says, "You will finish well if you stay with me. But if you don't stay with me, you won't finish well." He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you can do anything. But apart from me, you'll do nothing." This morning, I want you to know that wherever you have been, whether you started well and you took a wrong turn somewhere, or maybe you haven't started so good at all and you're just getting new with this Christianity stuff, or maybe you're just saying, "I'm just trying to coast to the finish." I want you to know here today, God wants to give you everything you need for you to finish well. And you know what that is? That's a relationship with Him. He says, if you will abide in Him, He will help you to finish well. So this morning, I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come. We're going to share communion together because I want us to hold something in our hands. And I want us to be reminded that Christ says whatever happened in the past, He can heal that so you can finish well. And whatever will face you tomorrow, He'll give you the power so that you can overcome it, so that you can finish well. You need not be a member of our church. You just simply need to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and I want to be connected to Him and I want to finish well. And if that's your desire today, when they pass the elements, you take them. If not, don't take them. But if that's your desire to finish well, receive these elements as we remember what Christ has done for us. Ushers, please come. Pastor Maurice plays. We're just going to pass them out where you are. Please hold them till we're all served and we'll partake of them together. We are still passing elements out, so be patient. I often think of it when we gather like this to pass out the elements to the congregation, how long it must have taken with the little boy with the loaves and the bread as Jesus broke them, and there's 5,000 men plus women and children. Has everybody been served that wants to be served? Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is My body broken for you." We need to remember today that He did that so that by His stripes we might be healed, that we would finish well. Whatever is in the past, you can put it aside because of the healing power of Jesus Christ. Let's receive from Him today the forgiveness and the healing that He offers. Let us take and eat together. Now, as you swallow that today, you're saying that you're going to forget those past hurts. You're not going to mention it again. You're not going to mention it again. I don't need to hear that story again about what someone did. You say as you swallow that, you're going to forget that disappointment. And that's not going to mark your life. You're going forward from here. You're not going to mention that failure again. You know Christ forgave you. When you swallow, that's done. Remember? Christ has taken care of it. It's in the past. And then as we take the cup today, the blood of His new covenant. While the blood is there, we talk about it, washes our sins away. We sing a song that says there's power in the blood. The blood of the new covenant, power to live for Christ day by day. The power to be overcomers. The power to say no to sin and yes to Christ. The power to do what is right. And so whatever you may face today, in Jesus Christ, you have the power to be victorious. So, before you drink, when you take this swallow, no longer are you going to make excuses, are you? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that you can do all things through Christ because of His strength. And no longer do you say, "Oh, I can't do that." You say, "As Lord enables me, I'll be faithful." Let's take and drink together. Father, we just pause and thank You for what You have done for us. Father, we remember at this moment what You have done in our lives. Father, You take away our sins. You heal us from the past. And then, Father, You empower us for the present to live for You. And Father, we thank You for that. And so, Lord, as we leave this place, we are now prepared to finish well in life. Whatever will happen today or tomorrow, or even in years from now, we know that we will finish well because we walk each day with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.